Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley, as our focus continues on the knockout stages of the Champions League as we kick things off in Italy. Napoli in action against Barcelona. This was a game that had a distinct lack of quality throughout. Not much really happened until Lewandowski opened the scoring on the hour mark to give Barca the lead. Osimhen, though, would score 15 minutes later to make it 1-1. For more on this, we welcome in a couple of Frenchmen. Frank Leboeuf and Julien Laurent join us.
It's so bad, I was mumbling to myself.
Oh, we heard you. Not yourself, we can hear you mumbling.
I was thinking, that's a point share then. I've just lost track of today's Champions League games. Off the back of, what was yesterday?
Yesterday was Dortmund PSV.
Oh my God, what a week. What a week. I'm just a week late in taking my holiday. Yep. I should have taken 2 weeks, should have taken it now.
Right.
I mean, I suppose that game were kind of, that was the main focus we had on.
Yes.
And the middle screen and all our tellies, because we thought, right, you know, two teams struggling, Napoli ninth, Barca, we know, having, as we cover La Liga every week, have really been struggling, particularly defensively. You thought, right, Napoli can get at them. This is going to be quite an exciting game, and particularly because Barcelona don't defend particularly well. But although Barcelona controlled the bulk of it, particularly in the first half, it was hard, man. It's just hard to watch these teams. I mean, this is a Napoli side. Yeah, they've had all these changes, and they lost Kim to Bayern Munich. They've obviously changed manager, but they won the league last year. Yeah. They were one of the best teams in Europe to watch, and Barcelona the same. They won the league. They were playing exciting football. How the mighty have fallen here. It was just really, I thought personally, quite a poor game.
Yeah, Frank, it was quite a good example as to why both these teams are struggling domestically this season.
Yes, yeah, for sure. And I was Craig with that, you know. I was really bored in front of the TV. I was watching at the same time Porto Arsenal, and we'd talk about it after. But yeah, it wasn't a Champions League game. And I'm with Craig. You know, what happened to Napoli since last season? And that team was offensively very good, direct, and full of imagination. We saw almost nothing from them. It was a little bit better for Barca. But at the end of the day, yeah, you watch that and say, you wait for Tuesdays and Wednesday of Champions League to have top games in Europe and maybe in the world, and you see that. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's the first of La Liga last year, first of the Calcio last season, and you see that. It's appalling. Really, it's appalling. I don't know because of what, because of whom, but really, it's not what we expect.
Overall, Jules, so Barca will take the draw back to Catalonia in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think they'd be kind of happy with that, really, to be honest. I mean, I think the fact that Napoli had zero shot, not just on target, just zero shot in the first half at home in a Champions League match, I think sums up very well what we saw today in this game. It was just not good. I guess Barcelona would be disappointed by the way they defended on that goal, Inigo Martinez on Osimhen. Whether I think Frank thinks there's a foul from Osimhen on Inigo, but he should not dive in like Craig said, and probably that defensive line should be a bit higher up anyway, at least on the edge of the box, not Inigo Martinez inside his own box. But apart from that, there was just not much, certainly not enough in a game of two clubs of this calibre.
I think if you're Barcelona, though, and you touched on it there, the way they've been playing, it's not a bad job, really. I mean, we've watched them a lot, and they've been poor. But a lot of people won't necessarily watch the Liga and think, well, it's Barcelona, but, you know, what's going on? They've been awful, right? They've been pretty awful. And defensively, they've been all over the place. Xavi's leaving at the end of the season. There's been rumblings with experienced players. And I think they get on the plane and go back to Spain and go, do you know what? We'll take that. Because whenever Xavi puts a team on the field this season, I think he has the jitters about, oh, my God, this could be 3 or 4. I mean, Granada scored 3 against him. Villarreal scored 5 against him. We talked about this yesterday. At the Montjuic, at home, they have been cannon fodder for almost everybody in terms of giving chances up. And so I think he, at the moment, walks out of almost every ground, Dan, if he's kept it quite tight and they're in the game and they've got a positive result, and goes, well, that's a bonus because the press are not going to nail me tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it feels with him and his team, is that they're always one disaster away from ultimately Jean Laporta replacing them before the end of the season. And that might happen if Napoli go to the Montjuic and win, which on tonight's evidence seems very unlikely.
Right then, Frank, what was wrong with the Napoli goal?
At first, it was, for me, Martinez' mistakes where he tries to get above in front of Osimhen. But after seeing the replay, you can see that Osimhen is tripping him with his left foot, with his right leg. And everything seems to be perfect in a normal pace. But you can see on the low pace that, from a shorter view, that he trips him. Well, yeah, you can see that. And therefore, there is a foul. I thought it was okay and was really Martinez's foul mistakes. But I watched it on a French TV, and I have to say that I'm not the only one thinking that. Even Nasri, Ginola, for example, they were there on TV and they say, yeah, it's a foul. It's a clear foul. And I agree with them, and I think it should have been disallowed.
I don't think that's very good company.
Well, Nasri and Ginola.
Certainly not Ginola. But not from a playing perspective. But I disagree. I think the problem here is with the defender trying to overread the situation. And I think he's well within his rights to step across to protect the ball coming in. And I think that's what he does.
Jules, is this a French thing?
Nah, I'm with Craig on this one. I understand that. I think there's contact there, but not enough to disallow the goal. I think Osimhen is quite smart in the way he does it. Inigo Martinez is pretty stupid in the way he does it. So I've got no issue with the goal being allowed. And VAR clearly didn't think it was an obvious mistake. Otherwise, they would have called the referee back and they would have asked him to come and have a look at the screen. So if VAR, not that VAR have been always great in the Champions League season, but if they didn't think it was a clear, obvious mistake, then I think I agree with them.
Yeah, I don't think you should be using VAR, Jules, really, as a...
No.
Yeah. Foul.
No.
I don't know, because you walk into a court of law and you say, you put your hand up and you mention VAR, you're chucked out straight away, but... But yeah, I mean, I think, look, this is Frank.
Right.
This is Frank. What does Frank do whenever there's a game on?
Yeah.
Frank, whenever there's a game on, Mr. LeBouf messages whoever's producing the show multiple times to tell him he's spotted an infringement.
He messaged me as well.
At which point, he should be blocked during games.
I'm sorry to be very much into it and to be very professional. Next time I will be more amateurs. Like some people.
What percentage chance then of these two teams of going through?
Well, I think I would go for Barcelona. I mean, they showed during the first half, even if it was poor, that they're much better than Napoli. We saw almost nothing from Napoli except that goal. And maybe they pushed a little bit at the end of the first half for 5 minutes and at the end of the game. But I see Barca much stronger and... I really think that they're going to finish the job.
What's percentage, Frank?
sorry very much. 80-20.
Wow, blooming heck. That's a joke.
I go 60-40 Barca. Just, you don't know what to expect of either of those two teams. They're capable of much better than what we saw tonight. They also can produce another game like tonight. I do think, Frank, that Barca is slightly better. But at least the only thing we can say is that the new Napoli manager, Calzona, will have 3 more weeks to work with that team. He's only had 1 training session before tonight's game. So that's not ideal. So at least maybe he will have a bit more time to put his input into this squad and this team. And then we might see a better Napoli. But I still would go for Barca.
I'm kind of 60-40 Barca, but hedging more even to 55-45, I think it's close, and I tell you why. They've not looked any more solid Barca at home than they have away from home. And I tell you, if you have to question, will Napoli be as bad in the second leg? Maybe they will be. But if they score first, and punch this Barca team in the nose, we've seen it. They'll crumble.
Yeah.
They'll absolutely crumble. So I think it's still Barca's, but it is very close.
Barca in action this weekend, meanwhile, in La Liga as they take on Getafe at Montjuic. That game live on ESPN Plus. We'll be with you at 10:15 Eastern. Meanwhile, for Real Madrid, they're at home against Sevilla on Sunday. Coverage of that tie starts at 2:30. It was a scrappy affair in Portugal. Porto eventually winning by 1-0. There were 36 fouls. That's more than any other Champions League game so far this season. The ball was in play for just 15 minutes. The goal, though, Craig, a nice strike from Porto. But I was watching with you. You questioned Raya.
Yeah, great strike. But I think Raya's just a little bit too far off his line. So his position's not great. And I do think a bigger keeper, and we know he's not the biggest, I think a bigger keeper would have saved that.
So it finishes Porto 1, Arsenal 0. Jules, I want to start with you. Is 1-0 a fair representation of this game?
Yeah, I think Porto were the better team. Not that they were amazing, but they were the better team. And I think the key in this game really is that Porto made Arsenal play the game that Porto wanted to be played tonight. And this is the key. There was just no rhythm. We mentioned the amount of fouls, 36, by far more than any other Champions League game this season. And when there's so many fouls, the ball is in play very, very little. As we saw, 50 minutes out of 94, there's no rhythm, there's no tempo. And this Arsenal team really needs that rhythm, needs that tempo for Saka and White on the right, for Martinelli on the left, for Odegaard. All of that, and there was none of that tonight. And credit to Porto and Sergio Conceição, their game plan was very effective. They didn't need the law of the ball. They were just very solid, very well structured, and just really prevented Arsenal from playing their own game and have that rhythm in the game. And it's not pretty, and it was a very boring game, to be fair, but it was very efficient for them. And now you will have to say that they go into the second leg with that huge advantage, even if it's just one goal. It's massive because they can well go to the Emirates in 3 weeks' time and do exactly the same.
Porto channeling their old school Atletico Madrid.
Well, they've played them often enough.
Yeah, that's true.
I look at the lineup as well, and I'm not, I don't want to go off on my weekly Kai Havertz, but going away from home. Declan Rice was booked after a minute, right? So he's now your most defensive player. He's on a tightrope, right? He's on a tightrope. But even before that, if you look at the team selection from the start, I would have preferred something similar to what they did against Liverpool at home. I'd have Jorginho and Declan Rice, because it not only gives Rice more freedom to go and help Odegaard and get around the pitch. Obviously, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but it would have helped with that booking. But I think from the start, that would have helped as well. And so when you go away from that and it's more of an attacking midfield, which is fine. It's fine when you're playing Burnley. It's fine when you're playing West Ham and you're taking six off them and that kind of thing. But he changed it for the Liverpool game because it was a big game, right? Because it was a big game and they had to control the middle of the park. And I'm slightly surprised that he went with what's been working for him recently against these weaker sides in the Premier League. Because one thing Porto are, they're an experienced side at this level. Mm. They've seen this movie quite a lot of times, and that's the way they played the game, with all the little stops and starts and all the tricks in the book. And they'll do it again, as Joe said, at the Emirates. And so I was a little surprised at that. Not really too much with any of the other team selection, and it might not have helped the way they played, but I do think that would have helped the midfield, with Jorginho with his passing and controlling the game, and Rice to do a bit of a pivot of both. Be beside Jorginho, but get up and support the front players and get in the box, which he does so well as well. So that, for me, was a surprise.
Do you agree, Jules?
Yeah, I do. I think, but again, we've talked about the lack of experience of that squad in general, and I think Pep tonight has more Champions League appearances than the whole of Arsenal's starting lineup, which is the thing, whether you believe in experience at that kind of level. The ball that Martinelli gives away on the Galeno goal, before the shot, before we can discuss Raya's positioning, all of that, Martinelli should never try to play that pass forward. There's no need. It's the 94th minute. Keep the ball, draw the foul on you. It's a nil-nil draw. You go home happy because you didn't play well. A nil-nil draw would have been a good result tonight for Arsenal. And yeah, Martinelli tried that pass. It's a hard pass. And then you get done on the back of that. So all of that, and I think Arteta his game plan and maybe preparation. He said himself after the game, he said, we have to prepare better for a game like this. And maybe they underestimated Porto's form, because in the league they haven't been great recently. There's a lot of issues within that squad, within the club, before the election for the presidency. There's a lot of players injured as well. So maybe they didn't prepare like they should have had. But the fact is that nobody from Arteta to the players were really at the level that we expected them to be tonight.
What did you make of Craig's criticism of Raya, Frank? Is that fair?
On Craig's what? Way of what?
And the Arsenal goalkeeper. Do you feel that if someone with a bigger wingspan could have made the saver?
Yeah, no. When we see Galeno's goal from behind Galeno's, we can see the curve is very, very good, and maybe hard for Raya and maybe many other goalkeepers to get it. I understand that Craig is not a big fan of Raya, but in that matter, I'm more with Jules, where Martinelli should have kept the ball and nothing would have happened. You have also Gabriel's chance just before on with a header that he could have scored. But you know what? My feeling is, Jules touched that a little bit. I think Arsenal, the coach and the players, subconsciously didn't prepare that game properly in the way that maybe they thought they were superior. And they are. I think they are superior at Porto, but you have to prove it. And it's a Champions League game. Conceição and the Porto players did what they had to do. The game plan was perfect. Even Pep, you know, who's almost 41, was playing that it was very easy for him to cope with all situations. And against a player like that, you have to put the pace. And I think Arsenal knows that they are better, knows that there are no much risks to take on that first leg, and will do the difference at the Emirates. And I think it's what's going to happen. But it's a warning, you know, if you don't prepare, if you're not consciously aware of what you're going to face, you can be surprised.
It wasn't really, to be honest, it wasn't really a criticism of David Raya per se. It was more a consequence of his size. Now, shot stopping low, distribution, all that kind of stuff. Maybe his stats will tell you, maybe he's the best, maybe he's up there. But whenever you see something curled like that, I think his lack of wingspan and ability to get there, like a Courtois or even a Ramsdale, I think that's a problem. Now, that's my sort of layman's term goalkeeping analysis. My old mate Kevin Hitchcock, as you know, messaged me, goalkeeping coach at the Revs, formerly Chelsea, Man City, blah, 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 and said he thought he was too far off his line to start with, as well. And so that was part of the problem. And look, I'm nitpicking here, but these are key moments. And, you know, you pick your poison. You pick your poison. I firmly believe a goalkeeper like Ramsdale saves that, because I don't think it's particularly high, but he is small. Right? He's small. His positioning, you could look at that. But I do think a bigger, better goalkeeper saves it. Now, as I said, it comes down to fine details here. It's a great strike. I'm not taking that away. But as I say, a goalkeeping coach, and Shaka's not here. He was supposed to be a poor lad, but he's not feeling very well. I don't know what he would say about it, but to me, I think that was savable. But what you get in one side of the field with them, you lose on the other. And that's something Arteta will have to deal with. It's not a huge mistake. It's not a huge glaring error or anything like that. It's a small detail. But it's a small detail at the moment that means they're chasing the second leg.
Jules?
For me, I mean, maybe the size matters, as you always say in England. I don't know why, but size matters. I do think maybe more, is his positioning too advanced for me. And I said that watching the game. I agree with Craig and Kevin. I think that he's there because he has to be, because the instructions from the coaching staff, from Arteta, is that he has to be so advanced in case there's a cross coming. So for me, he's already anticipating the ball at some point going wide, across in the box, and he's there. And he's been caught before like that on crosses. He's also been quite efficient, because that's the way they want him to be aggressive. But on that shot, maybe he's too aggressive already by being too advanced off his line. And for me, if he was a step back, he would have saved that shot.
Well, nitpicking.
No, Shaka's text.
Oh, Shaka's text. Oh, he's okay, is he?
He says, Raya too far off his line. Hitchcock is absolutely right. And he's still right
hold on.
Now.
They're
still
back. Hold on. He didn't say Bolly was right.
Well, but you, because you just read what Hitchcock messaged you.
No, I didn't. He messaged me because I tweeted out.
Yeah, but you said Wingspan. You did, remember Wingspan?
I told you when I started this. I told you when I started this segment, when a goalkeeper and it was Layman's.
Right, Layman's.
So that was a Layman's analysis of the goalkeeper.
He's not going to get beat for pace from there, so should be closer to his line.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll show you. He'll put that down as a day now.
Definitely, that's a usage. That's for sure. Let's play the percentage game then, Frank, again. 80-20?
I can go for that. I think Porto's going to try to do the same, but at the Emirates and the way that I see Arsenal playing this season, I give almost no chance to Porto. 1-0 is not enough, and I think Arsenal's going to do the job. So, yeah, I go for 80-20. Yeah.
Wow. Jules, I imagine you won't be as confident.
No, I think it'd be tight. I think they are capable to go to the Emirates and just defend for 90 minutes and defend well. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was going to extra time, for example. So I'll go much lower than Frank. I'll go 55-45 Arsenal. I still think Arsenal can do it. So they need to be in front in the percentages. But yeah, 55-45 for me.
Shaka, what do you think? Oh, no.
Close. I think close. The nous of this Portuguese, and Pepe still doing it at the back, 40 years old. Yeah. 60-40, big response needed from Arsenal, but still, but 60-40 for them.
A lot more talk about what happened in the Champions League over the last couple of days on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. They are back together once again after Gab's trip to, where did you go, Tanzania?
Stories about being in a tent.
Yeah, exactly. Servants. Be sure to check it out.
Servants.
Haaland, De Bruyne, Stevie and Shepherd Spy, Shaka and Naps, all great teammates. But what's the perfect teammate for growing your business? Well, that's Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify makes it easy for you to show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style with gorgeous, flexible templates and powerful tools. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/FC. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/FC now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/FC. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. The scoreline maybe doesn't tell the whole story at Anfield on Wednesday. Liverpool 1-0 down against Luton, but they rallied in the second half, beating the relegation strugglers by 4-1. Meanwhile, Liverpool at the weekend take on Chelsea, don't they, in the Carabao Cup final. They'll be live here on ESPN+. The big talking point going into that tie, inevitably, well, who will be fit? We know that Jota won't be, and it's a day-to-day thing for the likes of Salah and Darwin Nunez.
Yeah, and on top of that, Chelsea have been, albeit from a very low bar, much better in terms of their team selection, the back four, their shape, their pressing at Aston Villa, their pressing in the first half at Man City. All these things they have been better in the last two or three games. At they weren't very good at Crystal Palace in the first 45 minutes, but they've certainly got a little bit more confidence than they did a month ago. Well, this game a month ago, it wasn't quite a write-off, but it wasn't far off. You think, well, how the hell? Chelsea have just been to Anfield and been battered. How the hell are they going to turn this around? And now all of a sudden they're playing a little better. You've got these injuries for Liverpool. That's big. Mm. That's huge. I mean, Liverpool are still favourites. There's no doubt about that. But certainly if you're in the Chelsea camp, you're a lot more buoyed about this, particularly the way they've defended with the, you know, Thiago Silva sat out. We talked about it yesterday. Disasi, Caldwell, Chilwell and Malagusta, who's been excellent. That really has covered up some problems in the last two or three games for Mauricio Pochettino. So yeah, I think more of a concern now for Liverpool going into this than there was 3 weeks ago, when it looked like they'll put a strong team out, Chelsea are struggling, and this was a big one of Frank's 80-20s. You know what I mean? But I think it's been narrowed a lot since then.
However, having said all that, it's got to give Jurgen Klopp some hope going into that final, despite missing all the big names, that we saw this Liverpool side do what Liverpool have done quite a bit this season. Even with the big names within their starting lineup, it starts slowly, but then once they find that edge, they use it, and they use it extremely well, Jules.
Yeah, incredible. 22 points they won now this season from a losing position. It's more than anybody else in Europe. I think it's as high as they ever did under Jurgen Klopp through the whole season, and there's still 13 games or 12 games to go now for them. So pretty remarkable how, even if they go behind and they concede goals, to be fair, again today, when they go behind, they always come back, especially on field. So despite all the injuries, I think they had 11 players injured. All in all, we mentioned a few, but Trent, Szoboszlai, plenty of others as well. So it's not easy, but they still have a good depth in their squad, of course. And I think they'll be ready to go for the final, depending on Salah's fitness, of course, and Darwin's fitness. The lineup will be different. And when Gakpo plays up front, it's a different style to Darwin. Elliot on the right, very different to Salah. So all of that will have to be taken in consideration. But I think even if Chelsea are better, like Craig rightly said, I think Liverpool will fancy their chances and they know they're favourite.
And of course, as it stands, they're not favourite, though, to win the Premier League. That mantle still belongs to Manchester City. Liverpool have more questions about the fitness of players out of these three sides, Jules. Could you say they could go on and win the title without Darwin, without Salah, without Jota?
Of course they can, but we mentioned it the other day. I think, Dan, you were not there, and it was Stevie who was on the show. I think Frank was there. Of course, injuries, and we saw Saliba for Arsenal last season. We've seen in the first half of the season when KDB wasn't there for City, and Haaland for the last 2 months or so. It's difficult. Even if you have a good depth in your squad, even if you had planned before to have every position doubled or trebled, it's hard when your big leaders or your big stars are not fit. So that will have a big impact. Also, let's not forget that City are the only team amongst the three to play both Liverpool and Arsenal, because Liverpool and Arsenal have faced each other twice already. So that would have a big input. But yeah, I think Liverpool, even with all the injuries, at some point those players are going to come back. They can, of course, go and win it.
Frank, you're the king of percentages today. Go on then, break it down, these three.
Well, I still think that City is a favourite for me, even if what I saw against Chelsea wasn't good. And it goes between, for me, them and Liverpool. I don't know. I had that feeling that Arsenal is not yet ready. It takes time to win the Premier League, and they last year proved that they changed the way their mindset, and they get much better. They got much better, and this season again. But I think they're still not yet there, where against Man City and Liverpool, we have proven that they are the top four. For now, while, you know, winning the Premier League, both of them, winning the Champions League, both of them, I think Arsenal is still not capable of, I would say, race for the title. And in between City and Arsenal, I don't know. It's like we saw that last season. We saw that so many other seasons with Manchester City finishing strongly. So I still believe that it's possible, and they're going to do the same. But I'm amazed by the quality of the players at Liverpool, and with all injuries and the players who can step up. We see the young Bradley doing very good if Trent Alexander is not there. Nunez, we had some question marks when Salah left.
What percentage,
for the,
Frank?
AFCON. My favorite?
What percentage?
Okay. What percentage? Or what? Between the three? I give, well, it's hard to give a percentage for three teams, you know, but I give 52% for Manchester, 55% for Manchester City.
Yes.
45% for Liverpool and 10% for Arsenal.
No, sorry, I don't know. No, you haven't got any percentage left, Frank. You've got nothing left. 55 and 45.
I think no, it's true.
True. Sorry. 45, 35, 10.
Okay.
Frank must just hate Arsenal.
That's it.
I still, you know, I've been on this pedestal for a while now. I still believe that Arsenal are the biggest threat to Manchester City. I'm still firmly of that belief. It's not a perfect scenario for them. They have their own problems to get over. And Liverpool are also a great side. I think it's nip and tuck. It's very close, but I still think Arsenal are the side. I think if Liverpool were to lose, going to happen, but if Salah was to be a longer term, if Diaz was longer term, and of course Jota is, I don't think they win the league. And I think if Liverpool win this league this year, it could, even if those players come back, it could go down as one of, if not Klopp's greatest achievement at the football club. When you think of it, we've had the Asian Cup and the African Cup of Nations in between, where he's lost a player in Salah who got injured. He lost Endo. He's got Matip out with a cruciate for the season. He's had all these issues and, you know, lost both fullbacks as well for sustained periods. Mm. Trent Alexander-Arnold and Robertson on the other side. And then lost Tsimikas to the dislocated shoulder. If they were to go out that way and win it with these problems in his final season, beating these two teams, not just Man City, but at the moment it's these two teams, I think it would be the best thing Klopp has ever done at this football club. And so I think I'm telling you, that's how difficult this is going to be.
A discussion for another time if they do achieve it. Look forward to having
that. That's a discussion for a night when it's been a really bad Champions League night.
I look forward to it. Like tonight. So where does that leave Luton, this defeat? They wouldn't have gone to Anfield to expect to pick up anything. And what that means is they remain in the relegation zone, level on points with Everton, four adrift of Nottingham Forest.
But I'd be encouraged if I was them.
All right.
You don't want to talk about Luton, do you?
I'm talking about the relegation. Move on. I don't know. Move it on. Here we go. Chelsea against Liverpool on Sunday. A live view on ESPN Plus at 9 a.m. Eastern. Meanwhile, next week, Craig's off. The FA Cup, though, is not. Monday sees Coventry take on Maidstone. Tuesday, Bournemouth, Leicester, Blackburn, Newcastle, Luton Town against Manchester City. And on Wednesday, we've got four ties for you. Chelsea, Leeds, Forest against Manchester United, Wolves, Brighton, and Liverpool against Southampton. All those games are live for you on ESPN+.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Big story in Germany is that Thomas Tuchel will be leaving at the end of this season. The end. Of course, so much speculation about his future. Do we have his quote? Do we have what he had to say? Well, we don't. And we killed the quote. Okay. Jules, why now?
Well, I think they announced it now because, I mean, why wait anyway? I mean, I think it's a bit of a weird situation, a bit like for Xavi, to have a manager clearly struggling. They've lost three in a row now in all competitions. And you said, you know what, we're not going to sack you now. Why not? If he's not good enough now, he won't be good enough next week or the week after. Why do you keep him for the rest of the season?
Yeah.
But to announce that he will be leaving at the end of the season, I don't know, it's a bit strange to me, but at least he avoids all the questions all the time about his future, the pressure. So now they've said it, he will stay until the end of the season. I'm not sure, by the way, if they lose and get battered at Leipzig at the weekend for four defeats in a row, I think he could get sacked before the end of the season. But I think they wanted to announce it today to just avoid, again, all the questions and all that kind of pressure from the media in Germany and in Europe.
It's pathetic because, look, he's lost the dressing room. For whatever, whether you agree or not, right? He's tried to handle senior players certain ways. He's made it crystal clear quite a few of these guys that are international footballers, he doesn't fancy them. He's not hidden that, but then, and I keep saying this, he's then had to go back and say to them, help me out. That's a problem, right? When you don't handle that properly. Whether we agree with these players not getting on with them or not, or whatever, they aren't playing well. His tactics have been terrible. You know, bringing in Eric Dier, what's the point? What's the point? Sixth choice at Tottenham, all these kind of things. So, as Joe said there, they've got this game against Leipzig at the weekend. And by the way, they've looked average against Gladbach, Augsburg and Bochum last time out. Leipzig are a pretty good attacking side.
Mm.
So Bayern are going to have to eat some real humble pie here and say, no, this is the end of the year for us. You know, we're just going to see it through and everybody's happy and they're all going to move in a different direction. Oh, but we've just been battered, so now we're going to change again. It makes them look amateur. I mean, it really does, having to keep pivoting on decisions that you made, because if it's not Saturday or if it's not the weekend against Leipzig, it's the return leg, the second leg of the Lazio game. So it's waiting to happen, is what I'm saying. Unless there's this miraculous announcement and all of a sudden the players are all on side and there's a big uptick in these Bayern performances. Well, you know, if Barcelona maybe stupidly thought that was going to happen, it certainly hasn't at Barcelona. Why would it happen at Bayern?
Frank, does it make any difference to the players in the dressing room knowing that he's going to leave? It's like, right, come on, let's get together for these last 2 months before he gets out.
Yeah, it does make a difference, but not the way you're thinking. It's maybe for some others say, yeah, well, you can talk, man. You know, we don't care. You don't stay. So we're going to do whatever we want. And it's already a big mess, I guess, in the dressing room. So it doesn't help anything out of the system and how they want it to work, how the board wanted to work. I think it's even worse. Some players who might say something to Thomas Tuchel in the face, and it could get worse. It's why I don't understand that. But what is that thing with those managers leaving at the end of the season? Klopp, Xavi, Tuchel for different reasons. But I never seen that so much. Well, you don't want to coach when it doesn't work. Yeah, you don't keep it. You don't keep him. But you don't say before the end of the season what you're going to do, because for that reason, for that explain, and some other reason where you feel as a player that you don't have a skipper anymore, that you're by yourself. That guy is going to make a choice. But if you play okay, you're going to try to do your best. But if you don't play, you feel really useless and you cannot work hard because you know that you're not going to be chosen by the coach because he's about to leave. So it doesn't make any sense for me.
But the Klopp situation, I mean, take that. That's a completely different scenario.
And Xavi's similar.
Yeah. No, Xavi and Tuchel are similar. The Klopp one's a different dynamic because there might be one or two players at Liverpool that are not getting game time or maybe don't like Jurgen Klopp, but 99% of the players at Liverpool would run through the proverbial wall for the manager. And I think his announcement has actually gone the other way. It's galvanised them. It's like, look, this could be a great season. They're in for a, you know, still on for a quadruple. I mean, that's probably not going to happen, but they're in there. They're playing well. They're able to cover all these injuries they've got. The crowd feel it. Back in the crowd feel that there's something special going to happen between now and end of the season. They want it to happen for the manager, and so do the players. Contrast to that, to Barcelona and Bayern Munich players have not quite down tools, but not far off it. And quite clearly, we couldn't give a stuff if either of those managers left tomorrow. That's a completely different dynamic that they're dealing with, because these guys are just going, do you know what? He's leaving at the end of the season, but, you know. So what's their incentive for a guy they already maybe don't respect?
Or you tell me, you've been in a locker room.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What is the incentive? I don't think it's a great incentive. I'd love to be in that Liverpool one to a guy. I'd like to be in that scenario to a guy that I admired and respected and had this success, and you want to play for him. And I tell you what, let's make sure we don't go out without anything at the end of this season. Give him something to leave with, it's special. Whereas the other two, probably a lot of players are going, you know what? If he leaves tomorrow, I don't care. And that's not a good position to be in.
What is a great position to be in at the moment, Jules, is Xabi Alonso's agent, surely.
I mean, can you imagine that he hasn't had yet a full season as a manager, Xabi Alonso? Not yet. He arrived in October last year. Mm. So last season. So he finished last season, and then this season he's not even finished. And yet he already has Liverpool and Bayern Munich chasing him to be their coach next season. It's pretty incredible, to be fair. And also, I think, just to finish on Tuchel, it feels like Bayern are giving up on the title. They're 8 points behind Bayer Leverkusen. It's 8 points. It's not impossible to... Yeah, Bayer Leverkusen are amazing and they still haven't lost a game this season, but you can still make up 8 points. By the fact that you're keeping Tuchel, it shows that you don't believe, really, that you can win this title. For Xabi Alonso, it's incredible. The reports in Germany tonight from people, sources, certainly who are well-informed, is that he would rather right now stay in Germany and go with Bayern instead of Liverpool. I'm not sure if that's true. Personally, I don't think he would have had time yet to think about any of that, because he must be so focused on Bayer Leverkusen and this incredible season where they can still win the league title, the domestic cup and the Europa League, by the way, which would be, again, for his first full season as a manager, incredible. I don't think that, surely right now he doesn't have time or doesn't even want to think about Bayern Munich, Liverpool, Bayer Leverkusen, what should I do come June, July, August? I think right now he should be focusing fully on the pitch and getting more success for Leverkusen.
What would you do?
In what sense? Well, hold on. If Bayer Leverkusen under Xabi Alonso, they've handled the pressure thus far very well, right? But trust me, I've been in that position, and over the next 3 months, that pressure, well, it should be cranked up by somebody breathing down the neck, but it might not be. And to Jules's point, you know, why are Bayern not just saying, I tell you what, we cut our ties now. It doesn't matter who they bring it. Well, it does. Solskjaer's been mentioned, but there you go. That's another.
He'd be great, though. He's free at the moment. Experience with a big club.
Well, I keep seeing the German Sky Boy tweeting about this. And it,
the German only, Sky Boy?
I can't remember his name. Florian, whatever it is. I keep seeing, and the word that keeps popping up is, he's free.
Right. There you are.
He's available.
There you go.
So is the bus driver. Well. Won't give him the Bayern job. But what I'm saying is, don't give up on that title. If Leverkusen are going to win the title, make sure you're putting a run of results together that's going to ask them, can you handle this pressure? Because we know Dortmund have not been able to do it in recent years. But it's almost, as Joe said, like saying, let's just sort of wither our way through to the end of the season. And that could effectively kill this Bundesliga title with a month to go in the season or something like that. Whereas I'd really like to see Leverkusen been tested even more than they have been to this point. But in terms of what I would do, I mean, it's a really difficult...
Do you really want to be the man who has to follow Klopp? And do you want to be the man who has to take over the mess that is Bayern? You're looking at the two negatives.
If you can paint a long-term picture and all the dominoes were to fall in place, you'd probably go Bayern Munich off the back of a not very good, and then wait possibly for the Liverpool job in 2 or 3, 4, whatever year's time. But that's a kind of dream world. So I don't have
what
the answer.
What would you do, Frank?
Well, but Craig, for sure we'd go to Liverpool. I mean, we saw how many coaches have been at Bayern Munich. And I think the last one we did a 2 season was Guardiola. But after you had 5 or 6 coaches who only lasted one season or one season and a half. So it's not secure. if you want to build something, you know that you will have the time. You go to Liverpool, you will have already a very nice tool. Everybody is going to be spot on. You know how it works. You know the house because he also played for Liverpool. He has all the positive, you know, a feeling that that he needs. I will go for it because it's just a feeling. But really, you compare an insecure situation with something. Yes, you have the pressure, but you always have a pressure. And being behind Klopp, it's maybe something good because the fans, they're not stupid. Mm. They're going to understand that he will need some time to settle down, I think.
But the other thing is that, you know, and this is, I think this is quite big for managers, certainly ones that are going to clubs that are vying for the top honours, is that the City manager's not leaving just quite yet. Pep Guardiola.
Oh.
And until he leaves, they're going to be probably, and their favourites to win the title this season, they're going to be the ones to knock off the perch. So you go into Liverpool, you have that pressure as a very inexperienced manager, albeit probably off the success at Leverkusen. But then you look at the other side of it. Who are the two big stalwarts for Liverpool? It's Van Dijk and it's Salah. And neither of them are going to be at the club particularly long. They're both in their 30s. There's a chance Salah will go to Saudi Arabia or somewhere else. Van Dijk's already brought up his contract. I think he's 32 at the moment. So that's two big pillars of this side that you'd have to change. And those kind of things I think managers look at as well. You know, what's my opposition? What's the core of my team here? What's my budget going to be? And this Liverpool picture can change pretty quickly. So it's not all, it's great at the moment, but two or three players leave and they are big players. In a year or so, they're going to be tough to replace.
Tuchel to Barcelona next season then, Jules?
I think that's a strong possibility, really. I mean, if you think about it, where is there a market for him? Germany, he's done Dortmund, Bayern, this is over for him. Unless he takes the national team, which is, I guess, possible after Nagelsmann, after the end of the Euros. In England, I think he would really like to come back to England, but he would only come back, I think, to a Champions League club. So if you think about, I don't know, let's say West Ham, who probably will look for a manager after Moyes. No offense to West Ham, who are a big club, but I don't think he would go to a non-Champions League club. And the Champions League clubs won't need a manager this summer. So then, yeah, you look into Spain. But again, we talked about the pros and cons for Bayern Munich and Liverpool. Would you really go right now to the mess that is Barcelona with no money? The most likely scenario is that you will lose your best players because they will have to sell in the summer. So I'm not sure if Barca right now is very attractive to him, but it's still Barcelona and it's still one of the biggest clubs in the world. So maybe, and I think they will be quite keen on him too. Again, I'm not sure if they even have the money to recruit someone like Thomas Tuchel as a manager.
Plenty more time to discuss Thomas Tuchel's future and whether or not he will end up at Barcelona. Meanwhile, in the short-term period for Bayer Leverkusen and Xavi Alonso, it's all about Mainz on Friday. And as the boys mentioned, on Saturday, huge game late for you on Saturday. Bayern taking on Leipzig. Coverage starts at 12 p.m. Eastern.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, Who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Football Americas are on later today. They will be live with you after the conclusion of Inter Miami's opening MLS match of the season. Be sure to join them. Should be around about 10 p.m. Eastern.
Why didn't they show that?
Why didn't they show what?
Those,
that's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Be sure to stay tuned, though.
You know, it's been one of those days.
Jules, hey, will be back.
I just heard the producer go like that. Oh, promo. Even he's had enough. Oh, promo.
Craig with us as well for extra time. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Craig with us here in the studio. Frank LaBeouf joins us. Julien Laurent is here as well. Jules, is this a new setup, a new house? What's going on?
No, I've got a problem with the other TVU app. So I don't do it. Yeah, so I came downstairs. And also, I've got a message for you behind me, the other side. Sorry. You see? Just for you,
yes.
Dan.
Yeah.
And for your fantasy
you very
team
much.
As well. No worries.
Oh, beautiful.
This is the other
and this setup's better, actually, Jules. I feel it's more of an insight into who Julien Laurent really is. What does that window look out onto?
The garden here, and then the dining room here.
Yeah. Do you think he gabbed?
That's just a mirror.
Yeah. Oh, that's a mirror. Oh, I thought it was
a mirror.
Yeah. Wow, look at this.
It's very classy.
It's exciting.
He's got, Jules, he's got a window in his house that he can look out and he just sees Gab sat in a big chair.
talking
away.
Would you like it to have gone to Tasmania with Gab, Jules?
I got a few photos, so it felt at times that I was actually there with him and his family.
Wow.
For the reunion, I think I'm going to hear a lot about the trip and the lions and the elephants and etc. So I would feel like I've been there.
Yeah. Talking about elephants, I don't think his family should be subjected to being in a tent with him.
No, it's not a first choice. It's not a first choice.
I really feel that is some sort of a punishment almost is like the kids haven't, the school exam results haven't been up to standard, so now you must go. Obviously, the Tanzania thing's great, see the wildlife and all that, but there's always a caveat, isn't there?
It could be worse.
Because you know, normally.
You could be sharing a tent with Stevie. That is something that.
I don't even think the animals in the Serengeti would share a tent with him.
They don't emigrate. That'd be it. They'd be done.
But he's at that, you know, they're at that age, the Mercotti family. It's kind of family room time, you know.
Right.
There we go. No, split up.
Right, yeah, I'm going to move on. I'm moving on. How's that 4-0 to Arsenal prediction going, Dan? Yes, I did predict it was going to be 4-0. I got a bit excited. I did say 1-1 Napoli Barcelona, though. Yeah. So overall, you're in profit. So there you are.
Predictions.
Is getting rid of the away goal rule the reason these Champions League games have been so dull, Jules? Have they been?
I don't think so. I think it was down to quality of some of the teams. We mentioned that before. That teams also, like Porto tonight, like even Atletico Madrid to some extent yesterday against a good playing side that played differently and tried to more get a game to their pace than the opposition's pace, which is completely normal. And I think second legs have, even when we had away goals, second legs have always been more fun and with more at stake for obvious reasons than first legs too. So if it's again as boring for the second leg as it was for most of those first legs, then we can have a look and say, okay, yeah, maybe the away rules not being there is different or has a negative impact. But the one thing we can take away from the first legs is that maybe apart from the City Copenhagen game, everything else, there's still a lot at stake. Both teams can still qualify. Nothing is done yet. So I think for that, it's still a good thing.
Which teams, Frank, who lost 1-0 in the first leg, have the best chance to overturn their deficit in the second leg and advance? Bayern, Arsenal or Atleti? Bayern, of course, Lazio. Arsenal today, Porto. Atleti, Inter.
I go for Arsenal, you know, and I stick to my 80-20%, you know.
Yeah.
I think Arsenal, didn't show anything today, but what we saw lately in the Premier League, tells me that that they are the better team to overturn that result and win. After Bayern, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, Tuchel's going to stay or not next week. We'll see. But it's going to be harder for Atleti. I think against Inter is going to be much harder for Atleti. Bayern have more chance to overturn that result. I think it was against Lazio.
It was
against Lazio, right? Atleti is going to be hard. Inter showed real quality yesterday, and for Atleti, they will have to be at their best.
Craig, how highly do you rate Aston Villa's Ollie Watkins, as he's having a great season with goals and assists?
No, I think he's a really good player. He had a little bit of an off night in the game against Man United at home recently. He didn't play. He had some chances. But I think, you know, I don't think he's like in the top level with a lot of the guys, like, you know, the Harry Kanes and obviously Erling Haaland and whatnot. They're in a different level. But I don't think he's in a good level below that.
Right.
You know, he's got a little bit of everything. He'll get you goals. He'll run the channels. He's still got to work, I think, on his link-up play. But he's a very honest individual. And I like him. I don't see him moving to one of the real big guys. Don't know, disrespect to Aston Villa, but I think that where he is a very good level for him. I could see him doing a good job at somewhere like Newcastle and that. But, yeah, I think he's a good, really, really good player, but I wouldn't put him in the category above that.
Arsenal, Jules?
I think he's a bit old now, to be fair, and he signed a new contract in the summer with Aston Villa. I agree with Craig. I can see him staying Aston Villa with Unai Emery and keeping that level, being an England international, because the question also is for the Euros, who do you take with Harry Kane up front? Do you take Watkins? Do you take Tony? Do you take Solanke?
Doesn't matter, Jules. We'll still win.
I'm sure you still win. I hope for you that fine. Finally... Have you ever seen them win something?
On YouTube.
On YouTube, you've seen them on VHS, yeah. I think that's good. But yeah, I don't think his age now, he will go to one of the big clubs.
I'm not going to come in here in the summer during the Euros, right?
What are you going to do?
Well, I'll take a break. If Boston's all right, I'll take a break.
Okay.
But I'm not going to come in here during England games. If you're going to sit like you were doing when the World Cup was on, and you're sitting when England went, whenever they had a chance, you were going, come on, England!
And I'm like, I'm excited.
What's
wrong
this?
With being excited? It's
why don't you just get a big bib? Why don't you just get a big, luminous bib on that says punter? Get it and put it across your head.
To still have that passion.
Isn't it?
Look at Jules on his documentary.
He's too old for that.
He was picking a fight in the documentary with someone else in the press box.
What documentary?
In the Argentina France, someone's done a World Cup documentary. Jules, that's not... a complete hissy fit.
Yeah, but he's at the game. You're sat in a room with me. And the rest of the code,
I can do it more. To annoy you now. I can do it more to annoy you. That'd be it.
Nick, I'll tell you what, short of wearing an England top coming in, it couldn't have got any worse.
Frank, you were at my house. When was that? For the Euros? Did we watch an England game? I can't remember. And one of those matches when you were here.
I get like that with Scotland are playing, you know.
No, he's crazy. The guy is crazy. And he sings, he's coming home, he's coming. Oh, yeah, all right.
That's going to be a great
song. So it gets me.
I don't care.
I tell you what, you're right.
For Frank.
Even I don't care what I was going to say.
Would you consider the Canada national team job if you were offered it? Of course, Thierry Henry is rumoured to be offered, isn't he? You always seem to highly rate Canada, and at the moment, all we have is an interim manager. You said they'd go to the semi-finals of the World Cup, didn't you?
yeah, I really believe that they could do something good. I didn't expect they would do that bad. But you know what? I love Montreal, and if I have to go to Canada, yeah, because I will prove to the world that, in fact, I was deeply right about my thoughts, and there was just a mistake, an accident.
Would you take Mr. Burley as your assistant? Perfect.
Kept man.
There you are. Something.
Sure.
Okay.
I'd go to Canada.
I'm going to amend.
Would they let me in?
I'm going to amend this question.
Why? Is it rude?
No.
Well, make it rude.
Originally, it's three, but I'm just going to say one.
Okay. I don't know what you're talking about.
Craig, can you name one Europa League game tomorrow?
Was it three?
It was three originally, but you just know where you're going to say three.
Yeah.
Go on then.
West Ham.
Come on, surely. I cannot. Craig, I'm with you. I cannot. Marseille.
Okay. All right, hold on. You got me.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, guilty, Your Honour. No.
I didn't. I thought that would be the...
I know one.
Go on.
Marseille against the Ukrainian team. Is that correct?
Yeah, what's the name?
Donetsk.
Shakhtar Donetsk. Ding, 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 ding.
Marseille.
Well done. I could look Jules, can you name all eight?
He's looking at you.
Probably, yes. So, Rennes Milan is one. Freiburg Lens is the other one. Roma Feyenoord is the big one. You've got Olympiakos Ferencváros. It's the big one. You have... Slavia against Sturm Graz. That's a big one too.
I think you've just done the Conference League as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying to all the games tomorrow.
No, but I think you've forgotten Karabag against Braga, Jules. That's it.
Disappointing. Good first leg.
Yeah, that was a trick question. Because if you'd asked me about the Europa Conference League, right, I would have been able to answer the question.
Would you go on then?
What? Well, not now.
Why do we not now? We've got time. One match.
Say that again. Say it again.
That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. We'll be back tomorrow to reflect on some of those big games.
I'm not even going. I'm ignoring him though.
Oh, yeah, it's best. It's for the best. Stevie, I think, is here tomorrow.
Hope he's not wearing that black shirt, black top, suit, green tie.
You said Stevie yesterday, his brain is a mold.
He's got a molded brain.
There you are, beautiful. All right, thank you very much. Au revoir, bonsoir.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate is to not search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.